Srila Prabhupada had his meetings with different people. Not many people were allowed to come, only some very important people were allowed to come to see Srila Prabhupada. So one day one big scholar came to Srila Prabhupada to present a big Sanskrit book that he wrote. I remember it was a huge book. And I forgot what it was all about. I don't remember. So he brought that book to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw that book. And I could see that Prabhupada was not at all impressed. Prabhupada asked, how many people will read it? And the man admitted, yes, not so many people know Sanskrit nowadays. Then Prabhupada said, what's the use of this book? What is the use of this book? And in this way Prabhupada started to preach to that person. He was a big Sanskrit scholar, and I think he's very well reputed and recognized by the Indian government and big politician. But in front of Prabhupada he seemed like a fool. And Prabhupada pointed out, like, what's the use of this knowledge if it cannot be used for the benefit of mankind, for the upliftment of the living entities? And Prabhupada compared his endeavor to a lamp which is covered by a basket. The lamp is burning, but because it is covered by a basket, there is no light coming out. So there is no benefit. The lamp is burning, but there is no use of that. And Prabhupada quoted a verse also, maybe it was from Srimad Bhagavatam. The part that I remember is Gyana Khale Jatha Sakhi, that which probably meant that the knowledge which is not utilized, like a lamp covered by basket. And then Prabhupada pointed out that the essence of the Vedas is devotion to Krishna. Essence of the Vedas is to understand Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. So all the learning should be focused onto that object. Studying Vedas, remembering some verses or giving some explanation to the verses is not going to benefit anybody. But the simple presentation of devotion to Krishna is going to give the essential understanding and the ultimate benefit of the Vedic wisdom, which Prabhupada himself was doing, and the result was there all over the world. And then one incident I very vividly remember during those days is one day, one morning, Srila Prabhupada told me that he wanted to have some orange juice. So I looked for some orange. There was no orange in the kitchen. I went to the devotee kitchen. I went to a deity kitchen. There also they didn't have any orange. So I had to go to the market. In those days near Bombay temple there was nothing. There was no shop, nothing. So I had to go to quite a distance to get the oranges. And I came back. I started to make the orange juice for Srila Prabhupada. And the bell rang. Prabhupada used to call us by ringing the bell. So the bell rang and I ran into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada asked, what happened to the orange juice? So I told Prabhupada, I'm just bringing it. But at that time I just arrived, so I didn't really even start making the orange juice. So I quickly started to make the orange juice. And again the bell rang, and the way the bell rang, it was an electric bell. The switch It was a switch fixed to Srila Prabhupada's table, and Prabhupada used to press the bell and it used to ring electrically. And this time the bell just kept on ringing and ringing and ringing. So just the way the bell was ringing, I could make out how angry Srila Prabhupada must have been. So I was in great anxiety. So I just poured the orange juice in a silver cup of Srila Prabhupada, placed it on a silver tray, and rushed into Prabhupada's room. And when I opened the door, I heard as if there was a thunderbolt continuously cracking. And Prabhupada was very angry with me. He was actually telling me that he didn't want it, I could take it away. But I didn't stop this time. I had one experience in the recent past in Mayapur, where Prabhupada asked me to take the prasad away and I took the plate away. But this time I was not going to make the same mistake. So with the glass of orange juice on a plate, silver plate, on my hands, I just kept on moving towards Srila Prabhupada. And I just went in front of Srila Prabhupada and held the tray with the glass. For quite some time Prabhupada did not pick it up. He was so annoyed with me. But I just kept on holding it there. So finally Prabhupada picked it up and he started to drink it. So when Prabhupada started to drink it, then I realized that I did not bring the water to wash his mouth. Generally when I would serve something to Srila Prabhupada, especially some juice, I would also bring some water for Prabhupada to rinse his mouth. So I remember that this time I didn't bring the water. So I ran to the kitchen and brought some water and a lota. And then I gave it to Srila Prabhupada to wipe his, to rinse his mouth. And when Prabhupada was rinsing his mouth, I remembered that I forgot to bring the napkin to wipe Srila Prabhupada's mouth. So I didn't go to the kitchen, but I just went to Prabhupada's wardrobe and pulled out a small towel and gave it to Srila Prabhupada to wipe his mouth. So when I gave it to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada just told me, "See, you're trying to serve me so nicely, but I always chastise you." And then he said, "You see, when one becomes old, one becomes short-tempered. So please don't mind." When Prabhupada chastised me, I didn't feel bad. But when Prabhupada started to speak like that, I felt as if my heart was cracking. I tried to speak up and tell Prabhupada not to speak like that, but my voice was choked, as if there was a lump in my throat, and I couldn't speak. And Prabhupada just kept on speaking in that note, that when one gets old, one becomes short-tempered, and how I should not mind his chastisement and losing his temper. And then finally I spoke up. I said, "Prabhupada, I make mistakes, and if you don't correct me, what will happen to me?" And so when I spoke like that, the Prabhupada stopped. And I could see what a soft heart Srila Prabhupada used to have. Even though we are his disciples and we are there, ready to take any amount of chastisement. Even if Prabhupada would have beaten me with a stick, I wouldn't have protested. But just some, I made mistakes, and Prabhupada chastised, and then he was so soft. Kind of, when he chastised me, he felt bad. And he was so compassionate and so humble that there was no need for him, the world acharya, to apologize to his disciple for chastising him. But still Prabhupada was so humble that he would do that. So this is Srila Prabhupada, the kindest person, the most caring person, the most wonderful person, at least I have ever seen. And not only I have ever seen, no one comes anywhere near Srila Prabhupada. The way I saw him is completely unique, incomparable. Like if you say all the great personalities of the world are like stars, Srila Prabhupada is like the sun. And when the sun comes up, all the stars become invisible. So similarly, ever since Srila Prabhupada came to my life, all the individuals whom I considered to be great became practically invisible, practically lost from the horizon of my mind. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada.